Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20, we'll read verses 19 through 25 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever's sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever's sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And let's finish on verse 25 together. Ready? The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you for our preacher. Father, would you continue to fill him tonight? Would you fill us with your power as we listen? Change our hearts, change our lives, and Lord, please, may we be more like you when we leave here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I had a little piece of humor I was going to stick about halfway through my sermon tonight, but I think I'll start with it right now to see if I can lighten the atmosphere in here. Tonight, the sermon is about being a doubter. It's about our faith being weakened. You'll like this. A nun who worked for a local nursing home agency was out making her rounds when she ran out of gas. As luck would have it, there was a gas station just down the street. She walked to the station to borrow a gas can and enough gas to start the car with intentions of driving to the station for a fill-up afterwards. The attendant regretfully told her that the only can he owned had just been loaned out, but if she would care to wait, he was sure that lended gas can would be back shortly. Well, since the nun was on the way to see a patient, she decided not to wait and walked back to her car. After looking through her car for something to carry the stolen or to carry this to the station to fill with gas, she spotted a bedpan in her car that she was taking to this patient. Always resourceful, she carried it to the station, filled it with gasoline, and carried it back to her car. As she was pouring the gas into the tank of her car, two men walked by, and one turned to the other one and said, Boy, is that not faith? If you don't understand it, don't ask, okay? John chapter 20, verse 25, it says, And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. The story here is that Jesus had been crucified. He had been buried. The disciples had gotten together. They closed the doors in their meeting room out of fear of persecution. A man by the name of Thomas was not at this little meeting. Jesus, then, after his crucifixion, after his burial, he is resurrected and he shows up at this meeting. Very unexpected, of course, you see, they had put him in the grave. And he shows up at this little meeting of the disciples in his resurrected body. Oh, my. He had to calm them. Of course, he would have had to calm me too. Had I been in a room all shut up where we were all meeting in fear of persecution, and the one that I loved that had been crucified and buried, if he showed up resurrected from the grave, I'd be a little bit rattled too. And Jesus says in verse number 19, as he shows himself to those people, he says, "Peace be unto you." Now you might think, boy, that's good, solid religious talk. Peace be unto you. In modern day vernacular, he's saying, don't freak out, guys. It's okay, because I'm sure their eyes were as big as silver dollars when they saw the resurrected Christ. The Bible says he shows them his hands. Why? Because those hands had been pierced by nails. He shows them his side, that side that had been driven with a spear. Verse number 24, it tells us that this one by the name of Thomas was missing from this meeting. John 20:24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So here you've got the disciples, the apostles right there. Thomas is not with them. Jesus has shown his hands. He had shown his side. But Thomas was not there. Well, Jesus leaves. Thomas shows up. And the Bible says in verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, we all know that Thomas gets a nickname that sticks with him for all of history. From that point on, we started calling him Thomas the what? Doubter. Thomas the doubter. Now, what was behind this problem with Thomas's doubt? Why did Thomas doubt? Why did Thomas go down in history with a nickname called Thomas the doubter? What things contributed to his doubt? Why did he doubt Jesus' resurrection? Why did he doubt the testimony of those other disciples? Let's face it, those other men, do you understand who the other men were in that room? When Thomas showed up, these were the best Christians on the face of the earth. These are guys that preach truth. These were men that had seen miracles and had walked with Jesus. This was Jesus' personal staff. And Thomas shows up and they say, guess what? Jesus was here. And we seen the nail print in his hands, and we seen the place that he'd been pierced in his side. Thomas said, I don't believe you guys. What in the world had happened to this man? Why in the world was Thomas disbelieving the preacher? Because that's what these men were. They were preachers. They were hand-picked men on the staff of Jesus Christ. What had happened to Thomas? Why did he not believe? Hey, Thomas had heard the predictions that Jesus would rise again. Thomas had heard about that. What had happened to him? Where is Thomas's faith? Why would Thomas not believe Peter? Why would Thomas not believe that the others that were a part of that group of men that were maybe the most powerful group of men on the face of the earth, the men of great faith, the men of truth, the men of God, the men that Jesus had picked? Why in the world did Thomas doubt? What happened to him? What happened here, Thomas? What's up with you? Well, I think whatever affected Thomas's faith is exactly what could affect your faith and my faith. Let's see what it is. Let's ask ourselves, first of all, when Thomas was not in that meeting where Jesus showed up to show them the nail prints, and he was absent, that meeting that he should have been in, that he wasn't in, and as a result of it, he didn't have faith. I wonder who he had been with just prior to that meeting. Who had he been with? Mark 9:19 says, he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Here, we're told that we live in a faithless generation. That was said back in Jesus' day. Let me tell you something. Things have deteriorated since then. And if there was a faithless generation in that day, can you imagine what it would be called in this day? Super mega faithless generation. I would say one of the reasons why Thomas doubted is because Thomas had been with somebody who caused Thomas to develop a doubtful attitude. Why was Thomas doubting? I wonder who he was with. Was he with someone from the faithless generation? Was he out running around with the doubters? Was he out running around with those that would mock the old time religion and faith in God? Folks, let me tell you something. The people you're with will either strengthen your faith in the things of God, or they will weaken your faith in the things of God. Do your friends cause you to believe God more or less? And let me prove it to you. Everybody in the room believed, but Thomas. Who should have Thomas been with at that time? All the people that believed. Where was he? He wasn't with the right kind of people, I can guarantee you. Mrs. Owens and I watched our grandson Trey overnight, and he was with us for about 24 hours. He's 18 months old or something like that. He'll be 2 years old this August. You can figure it up. Well, Trey and I were playing, and I showed Trey how you could take the cushions off the couch, put them on the floor. You could dive off the couch onto the floor. And at first, he wasn't real sure about that, but I showed him it was okay. Then I showed him how to go off backwards. Well, a little later on, we cleaned all the pillows up, put everything away. And I went about my business. And my wife said, "Honey, you better get him." He had climbed up on the back of the couch, was getting ready to do a swan dive backwards onto the floor with no cushions. Grandpa had developed his faith. You get around the right kind of people, they'll help you to take on major challenges. And I had to explain it to him. You know, you want the pillows to be there. But he was ready to take a dive. Why? He'd been with somebody that had taken him to new horizons. Let me tell y'all something. You get around the right kind of people, they'll help you to conquer mountains you never thought you'd conquer before. You get around the wrong kind of people, you'll be doubting God and doubting the church and doubting the Bible. Who you been with? Who have you been around? I know how Thomas got the name that Thomas got. He'd been with somebody. He had been with somebody. Somebody had tampered with his faith. I was counseling someone this last week. And they're working on overcoming some issues in their life. And I've been talking to them about it. And they look across at my desk at me and says, "You know, Pastor, when I'm in here talking with you, I feel like I can conquer anything." And I felt a warmth in my heart. And I thank God that God has allowed me to strengthen the faith of people. You can do what needs to be done. You can have victory over sin. Hey, you can live right. You can do the good things in life. You can. But let me tell you something. You get around the wrong kind of people and you can't. And you can't. I believe that Thomas got pegged as being a doubter in history because of who he had been with right before he doubted. Not only that, I wonder what he had been doing. Who had he been with? But what had he been doing just prior to this meeting that gives him the reputation of a doubter? James 2:18 says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You know something? What Thomas had been doing directly before the moment may have weakened his faith. What he had been doing caused his lack of faith at that strategic moment. Do you know that had he been with the right people, and that maybe had he been doing the right thing just before Jesus showed up, maybe Thomas wouldn't have gone down in history as a doubter. Did you know what you do will have something to do with your faith? What you do will have something to do with your faith. What have you been doing that's weakening your faith? When you do wrong, it weakens you regarding your doing of right. You walk out of Joe's Bar and Grill, you're not going to have any faith in regard to witnessing to someone standing on the street corner. You have depleted your courage. You've depleted your faith. When we do wrong, we weaken our faith. When we do right, we strengthen our faith. I'll prove it to you. You go out soul winning and win someone to Jesus Christ. You know what you usually want to do? You usually want to go win somebody else. Why? What you were doing creates a momentum of confidence and faith. So, how did Thomas end up with this name as the doubter? Well, I think it had something to do with who he was with prior to Jesus showing up in that room where Thomas said, I doubt that that happened. I believe it had something to do with what Thomas was doing immediately before, and that weakened his faith. Thirdly, I wonder where he had been. You see, I wonder who he was with. I wonder what he had been doing. Now, I wonder, where had Thomas been? Where had he been? John chapter 20, verse 27 says, Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. This is 8 days later. 8 days later, Thomas is where he's supposed to be. And he does see, and he does have faith. Now he's in the right place. Now we see Thomas's faith. And so you all know, Thomas made this blunder, but Thomas went on, and I think he was a great Christian. Thomas went on and did great things for God, but he got pegged as a faithless man. What was he somewhere bad just before this big exercise of doubt? You know, what you do and who you have been with and where you have been will all affect your faith. They'll affect your faith. Hey, you go to a rock concert and you go to a country concert. Believe me, it's going to weaken your faith on Sunday morning. I said it earlier. You go to Joe's Bar and Grill. That's not a place that strengthens your faith. It that where you are will affect your faith. It just does it. And you know, it's not just a matter of what we would call wicked, vile sin. I think all sin is wicked and all sin is vile. But there are those that are a little more disgusting. And I'll say to you, I'm not just talking about those kinds of sins. Hey, was Thomas somewhere good just before Jesus showed up in the resurrected body? But he wasn't at the best place. For instance, you say, Preacher, I didn't come to church this morning. I was out collecting trash along the roadside, cleaning up the community. You know what? I'm so glad that you cleaned up the trash. But did you know you were supposed to be in church this morning? You see, we sometimes will pick something good, but that good was not the best. And because we did not pick the best thing, we weakened our faith. You say, Brother Owens, I didn't come to church this morning. I was downtown Martinsburg. They were having a little old lady convention, and I went down there to help walk little old ladies across the street all day long. And that's why I didn't come to church today. Well, I'm glad that you helped some little old ladies across the church, across the road, but you were supposed to be in church this morning. Yeah, you were supposed to be in church. You see, we can almost dream up our own gospel. We can almost dream up our own Bible. You will weaken your faith if you don't do what you're supposed to do and be who you're supposed to be with. And you're to be doing what God wants you to do. That's what strengthens your faith. When you're to be in church, nothing can justify your absence. Oh, we understand illness and emergency, but sometimes we think, Brother Owens, instead of coming to church today, we had family time at our house. You think that's right? You think that's what the Bible teaches? Have family time on Monday, not on Sunday. Sunday's God's day. And I'm for the family. God knows I'm for the family. But you don't replace God's time with family time. Oh my. Hey, where had he been? Why is it Thomas turned out to be the doubter that he was? Maybe he was someplace wicked and vile and nasty, and he was at some nasty, I'm trying to think of what are the places where they gamble? What do they call those things? Casino. Yeah, casino. Maybe he's at a nasty old casino drinking and partying. Maybe he was. Or maybe Thomas was out doing things that were good, but he wasn't doing the best thing by being where Jesus needed him to be. What was he doing? Who was he with? What happened to his faith? How could that man show up? surrounded by the best Christians on the face of the earth. I mean, they had been through thick and thin together. It had been predicted that Jesus would be crucified and that Jesus was resurrected. How in the world did that man walk in and everybody else said, he was here, he was here. We seen his hands, we seen his sight. And he said, I doubt that happened. What happened to him? Somebody tampered with him. He had been in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people, and they had stolen his faith. Right. Folks, don't let people steal your faith. I wonder, we see the who of his doubt, the what of his doubt. We see the where of his doubt. How about the why? What's the why of his doubt? What's the why? Say, what do you mean by why? I wonder what his excuse is. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I wonder what excuse Thomas had for not being where he was supposed to be. I'm sure Thomas had many pre-planned excuses to justify his absence. I'm sure he had excuses that would satisfy himself. And those are the ones we're best at. As long as we are satisfied personally with our excuse for letting God down, we're good. Then we'll go to work on trying to satisfy everybody else with our excuse as to why we let God down. But we work on ourselves first. We want self-justification for our disobedience. We've got to figure out a way to make it okay that we did wrong. We've got to figure out a way that it's not our fault. It's got to be somebody else's fault. We go to work on excuses. I wonder what the whys were. I wonder if after this little episode, Thomas is not with some of the other men that had said, Thomas, we've seen it. And he said, I don't think so. I wonder if Thomas went into his barrage of excuses to explain away his disobedience. I wonder if while he was having coffee with Peter, he said, Peter, let me explain this to you. I can tell you all the reasons why I was not there with the rest of you guys to be a part of this miraculous event. I can tell you why I doubted that he had resurrected. I'll tell you why I didn't believe the Old Testament scripture. And let me tell you, I can give you all the good reasons why. Let me explain it to you, Peter. I wonder if he went on and on and on and on and on and on and justified to everybody they came in contact with why he said, I doubt it. He had excuses to satisfy. Hey, and I'll tell you what, if you're an excuse maker and you can find some other excuse makers, they'll readily accept your excuse because you're like them. Oh, people hate folks that don't like excuses. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like people say, yeah, but you disobeyed. But. Okay, but yeah, but you disobeyed. But. Yeah, but you disobeyed. I know. You're still wrong. Almost can't stand somebody that says you did wrong. You write a 25-page letter if you want to. It's still wrong. Huh. I wonder what excuse that Thomas had. So you see, I see the doubt in Thomas. I think it had something to do with who he was with. I think it had something to do with what he had done prior and where he had been. And now, I'm sure, all the whys, he's got plenty of whys why he was not where he was supposed to be. Then there's the when. The when that Thomas arrived. Did he get there? Uh-huh. He just came late. Do you understand how much your personal character can affect your faith? I know all sorts of people that should have got right with God a long time ago, but they waited and waited and waited and put it off. You know, once you know something's right, won't you do it right now? Yes, sir. Once you know something's right, the time that you spend between the time that you know it's right and doing it, you spend trying to justify figuring out a way to get out of doing right. Continuing in your sin. He arrived late. Character problems will hurt your faith. Right. He was late. Do you know that there are people because they're late to what God needs them to do, they have weak faith. You're late to getting to your Bible reading and late to getting to your prayer time and late. Hey, there are people that they don't get all the preaching. Why? They show up late. They show up late. Hey, maybe getting to where Jesus was hard. And Thomas, that wherever Jesus was during this time where he shows himself to these other disciples and they all believe it, Thomas did show up. He just showed up late. Maybe it was hard. Maybe Thomas had a bit of a journey to get there, and it was hard. Maybe he didn't want to pay the price to do what was hard to be where he needed to be. Can I tell you all something? Things that are hard in life are still to be done. Maybe the when that he arrived, which was late, had something to do with his lack of character. Hey, maybe he meant to be there. He just forgot. He was an unscheduled man. That's your character. He wouldn't train himself to be efficient with his time. That's his when. There are people that sincerely say, I wish God would use me in a big way, but I just can't seem to get where I'm supposed to be. Well, you're going to have a lack of, you're going to have weak faith that way. Maybe he was unfaithful. I don't know. Maybe Thomas had struggled with his faithfulness and faithfulness was an issue with him already. Maybe he was already an inconsistent person. But let me tell you all something. People of poor character often are people of poor faith. People of poor character are often people of poor faith. You need to get character in your life, and you need to help your children develop character in their life to do what they're supposed to do, to be there on time, to finish the job, to be thorough, to pay the price no matter what it takes. You do all those things, you'll have greater faith in God. I don't know. Maybe he was a doubter because of when he arrived, which was late. So who he was with affected his faith. What he had been doing prior affected his faith. Where he had been affected his faith. Why he was missing affected his faith. When he finally arrived affected his faith. And then the sad thing is, I believe probably that his lack of faith influenced somebody else. Probably affected somebody else negatively. The Bible says in 3 John verse 5 and 6, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Here, it is said that if someone is faithful, they're going to affect the brethren. That's the general population of Christians. Then it's going to affect strangers. That's probably the lost. Then it says those which have been witnesses, those are those that are up closest, nearest to you, that witness the way you live. Your faith will affect the church. Your faith will affect the lost. And your faith will especially affect your family and the people nearest you. Don't you think that Thomas affected some people with his lack of faith? His lack of faith. Don't you let your lack of faith affect the people around you. Have faith in the Bible. Live the Word of God. Do what's right. If I were to try to figure out what in the world happened to this fellow by the name of Thomas, how in the world did he go down in history as Thomas the doubter? I think he had been with somebody he shouldn't have been with. I think they were somewhere they should not be. I think he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. I think that he was ready to give excuse. I think he had poor character. He arrived late. And I believe that affected other people. I call the sermon, Why a Doubter? Folks, let's strengthen people's faith, not weaken people's faith. And I'll promise you, if you have a lack of faith, you're going to find tucked somewhere in this little lesson about Thomas something that has affected your faith. You get around. Hey, on April 22nd, this year, we're intending to have a minimum of 2,012 people in Sunday school. I'm excited about it. I'll tell you something. Bus captain, stay away from the doubters. Church members, stay away from the doubters. Stay away from the critics. You better get around somebody who says, That's what we're going to do. Get around the people who believe our God is a great God. And our God can do great things. Watch the ones who doubt. There's a reason why they doubt. And if you get around them, they'll cause you to doubt too. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We want to welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. There are people in this building. You're doubting some things. Hey, there are young people, and I know this for a fact. I mentioned this earlier today, and you young people that I corrected, I love you, and I am your friend. I will help you, but I'm going to tell you something. There are young people in this building tonight. You have gotten around some people. You've been doing some things and going some places. The reason you're doubting what your mom and dad have reared you to be, the reason you're doubting the Bible, and reason you're doubting your lifestyle that you've lived all these years. Hey, the reason why you're a senior and you just can't wait to graduate and get out of the house and go do your own thing and rebel, somebody tampered with your faith and you've let them. Keep your faith in God. Stay away from the doubters. Stay with those that believe God and believe the Bible and believe right. Somebody here tonight needs the altar just to strengthen your faith in God. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to...